William, and again, good evening, and thank you for coming out tonight. Let us read, please, from the book of Judges, chapter 11. Judges, chapter 11. Now Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor. He was the son of an harlot. And Gilead begat Jephthah. And Gilead's wife bare him sons. And his wife's sons grew up, and they thrust out Jephthah, said unto him, Thou shalt not inherit in our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman. Then Jephthah fled from his brethren, and dwelt in the land of Tob. And they were gathered vain men to Jephthah, and went out with him. And it came to pass in process of time that the children of Ammon made war against Israel. And it was so that when the children of Ammon made war against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to fetch Jephthah out of the land of Tob. And they said unto Jephthah, Come and be our captain, that we may fight with the children of Ammon. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, Did not ye hate me, and expel me out of my father's house? And why are ye come unto me now, when ye are in distress? And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, Therefore we turn again to thee now, that thou mayest go with us and fight against the children of Ammon, and be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, If ye bring me home again to fight against the children of Ammon, and the Lord deliver them before me, shall I be your head? And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, The Lord be witness between us, if we do not so according to thy words. Then Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and captain over them. And Jephthah uttered all his words before the Lord in Mizpah. Now a few verses in Romans chapter 10. Romans 10 and verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, Say not in thine heart, Who shall ascend into heaven? That is, to bring Christ down from above. Or, Who shall descend into the deep? That is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is, the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. May God add his blessing to the reading of our meditation on his word. Tonight I want to emphasize the Lordship of Christ. In the New Testament, there are about 24 references to the word Savior. There are about 700 references to the word Lord. Now, of course, we preach salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. We rejoice that he came into our world and partook of flesh and blood. He became a man, yet without sin. But I believe that many a time we lose and forget to emphasize in preaching the gospel the lordship of Jesus Christ. Nowhere in the New Testament will you find men are asked to believe on the Savior, but they are asked and exhorted to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It is one thing to be saved, to have the knowledge of sins forgiven, to believe on Jesus. It is another thing to have that deep commitment and to own Jesus Christ as Lord in our lives. And I think we need to be reminded of this, because I fear that too often we are Christians on the surface, that we do not know the depth that we should of our relationship with Christ, of our relationship with the great God of heaven. So often we think of believing in Christ, believing in Jesus, as an escape from eternal damnation. That's true. That's a wonderful thought, to know that we've been saved from condemnation, from the consequences of our sin. But Christianity and salvation goes a bit further than that. I believe the Word of God not only exhorts and suggests, but demands our allegiance and obedience to the lordship of Jesus Christ. When the Apostle Paul was about to leave the Christians at Ephesus for his last journey to Jerusalem and then on to Rome, where he would be imprisoned and then finally executed, he called the elders down to the seaport, and he said to them, "You know that I have been faithful. I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God, warning every man and teaching every man from house to house, night and day, with tears. He declared unto them not just that Jesus was the Savior of sinners, but that he was Lord." And if you read his epistle to the Ephesians, you'll see that he further develops this truth. And so, I'd like to challenge your heart and mind tonight that we consider this question of the lordship of Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus said to the Pharisees of his day, those religious people who had a form of godliness but no power, who performed their outward acts, their ceremonies and forms, he said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" You remember Peter used such a contradictory statement that day on the housetop when he went off into a trance and saw a sheet let down from heaven, knit at the four corners, and all manner of four-footed beasts and creatures in that sheet. And he heard a voice saying, "Arise, Peter, kill and eat." And what did Peter say? He said, "Not so, Lord." Now that's a contradiction in terms. to say not so to our Lord Jesus cannot be followed by the word Lord. Because if we call him Lord, we will never say not so. And if we say not so, we do not acknowledge him as Lord. I think we need to get a hold of this truth, that he is not only our Savior, but he is our Lord. He is our captain. He is our head. We owe allegiance to him. He leads and we follow. And if we can call upon our hearts and the deepest motives that govern our actions to be obedient to the Word of God and the will of the Lord Jesus, then we shall acknowledge him as Lord in our lives. So this truth of the Lordship is, I think, beautifully exhibited in this story of Jephthah. Now, you may have some misgivings about Jephthah. He was the son of a harlot. That was none of his doings. And his mother's sons, when they realized it, they despised him and they cast him out. And they said, you cannot be heir. You cannot share in the inheritance of our father. You're the son of a strange woman. And so they made it hard for Jephthah, and he had to leave home, and he went into a strange land. You might think I'm a strange person. I talked about strange gods this morning. Tonight I'm talking about strange women and strange lands. Maybe you get the idea I'm a strange person. But be that as it may, Jephthah fled from his brethren and went into a strange land. Some days later, some years later, the Ammonites came down and wanted to fight against the Gileadites, the descendants of Gilead. And they didn't know what to do. And so they said, let's send for Jephthah. Let's go for him because he's a mighty man of valor. He's a courageous man. He's a fearless man. Let's go for Jephthah and get him to be our captain, to lead us into battle. And if we do, he can win the victory for us. And so they went to look for Jephthah. But he says, not so fast. Take it easy. Why are you come now? You're in trouble. You remember? You forced me to leave home. You wouldn't have me as your brother. And now, because you're in trouble, you come pleading for me to take up the challenge and to be your savior. Not so fast, he says. First things first. If I come back and be your captain, I lead you into battle, and I become your savior, will I be head of your tribe, of your nation, if you like? Are you only going to use me as the commander-in-chief, and when the battle is fought and the victory won, are you going to drop me like a hot potato? No way, he says. No way. If I come back, I come back on my terms. I have to be number one. And they said, you can be number one. Only come back with us. Come back and be our captain. Come back and lead us into battle. Come back and be our head. And we will be your servants. We will follow where you lead. You will be number one. You remember David had to flee because of King Saul. One day he found himself in the cave of Adullam. And there were others who had to leave because Saul made it hard for them too, because they were followers of David. They were confederate with David. They sympathized with David. And so he made it hard for them, and they had to leave home. And we read that those who were in distress, those who were in debt, and those who were discontented, they all gathered themselves unto David in the cave of Adullam, and he became captain over them. It's only when people feel that they're in trouble and they're about to go under that they're willing to cry out for help from someone else. We like to pride ourselves that we can fight our own battles, that we can stand up as well as anybody else to the challenges of life. And we will stand on our own two feet, and we will boast of how strong we are and what we can do, and we don't need God and we don't need anybody else. Until trouble comes. And like our brother William has told us, when the Spirit of God brings conviction to our souls, and we realize that we stand before a holy God and we are exposed to the judgment of God, and a yawning hell is open to receive us, at a moment's notice, at the snap of our fingers, we can be gone into hell. Only when we realize that and we feel the heat from hell, as it were, we feel the flames leaping about us, only then are we willing to cry out and to cry to God for mercy. David became the captain over these distressed and discontented and indebted men. And now Jesse becomes the captain over these, his brethren, because they are weak, they are helpless in the face of the Ammonites, that great company of men who feared neither God nor man, who would slaughter women and children as well as men. They are now at their wit's end, and they're willing to submit themselves under the leadership, the march to the allegiance of Jesse, their brother. But he demands of them to be number one. I believe the Lord Jesus makes similar demands of us. No, he doesn't refuse us. He invites us lovingly, cheerfully, with open arms. Him that cometh unto me, he says, I will in no wise cast out. But when we come, we not only come to him as Savior, we come to him as Lord of our lives. The Philippian jailer cried out when he came to the end of himself, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? As the earthquake shook, and not opened not only the prison doors, but opened his mind and his eyes for the first time in his life. He could see. And he said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Peter, as he sank on the Sea of Galilee, he began to walk on the water and then became afraid and began to sink. And what did he say? Lord, save me. The verse that we read in Romans chapter 10. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, or Jesus as Lord, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And verse 13 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He wants to be our captain. He wants to be our leader. He wants to call the marching tune. And he wants us to walk to his beat. Don't let us ever think of the Lord Jesus as just a fire escape from the burnings of hell. Let's acknowledge him, not only by lip, but by our lives, as Lord, as well as Savior. Jephthah uttered these words before the Lord in Mizpah. Mizpah was where Jacob and Esau met after 20 years. And they made a covenant that they would not harm each other. And the place was called Gilead and Mizpah. As he said, the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from another. You uttered those words before the God of heaven. You cried out for mercy to God's beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God is holding us all to that commitment. Shouldn't he have the best from us? Shouldn't we give to him something in return for all that he's given us? Don't let us ever think that there is one great giant step from earth to heaven. That one day on earth we got saved, and we turn our back upon that experience, and we go on our merry way until we die, and then one great giant step from salvation to glory, not on your life. It's a day-by-day experience, a day-by-day walking with the Lord, a day-by-day fellowship with the Lord. If I be your captain, shall I be your head? If I ask him to receive me, will he say me nay? Not till earth and not till heaven pass away. He will never turn anyone away. But when we come to him, he demands of us allegiance and loyalty each day of our lives. The Pharisees called Jesus Rabbi, Rabbi, Master, Teacher. But they never called him Lord. They were religious up to here. But they never acknowledged the Lordship of Jesus Christ. They never believed that he was the Son of God, came down to earth, and he came to die for poor sinners. But the poorest wretch, the humblest peasant who acknowledged his or her needs, the woman from Syrophoenicia crying for her daughter, as well as the Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, The woman at Sychar's well, as well as Nicodemus. From the lowest to the highest, the rich and the poor. If they acknowledged him as Savior, they worshiped him as Lord. Don't take anything away from him. He's worthy of every ounce of our energy. He's worthy of every step that we take, every mile of the journey. He's worthy of all that we are, all that we possess, our minds, our being. It's his right. He has a right to expect it of us. Never let us think of him in light terms, any less than Lord. Christianity is not a philosophy of life. It's a quality of life. What does the world see in us? I know generally as they look out, they see a professing Christianity. And they have mixed emotions about what they see. They see people going to church on Sundays. And then they see so many inconsistencies Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And they think it's all a lot of humbug. Religious humbug. Because they're getting a diffused picture. It's not clear. The focus isn't right. They're Christians on Sundays and devils on Mondays. So Christianity is not a philosophy of life. It's not something that we can take up and put down. Christianity is a quality of life. It is something that should be worked into the fabric of our beings, into the warp and woof of our lives, to be lived out day by day. That's owning the Lordship of Jesus Christ. At his birth, the angel said to the shepherds, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." Wonderful news. Marvelous words. Sweetest words of seraph sung. But they didn't stop there. "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And they came and they worshiped him as Lord. Peter on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 declared this. He says, "God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified both Lord and Christ." And that pricked the hearts of the hearers. To think that this Jesus of Nazareth, this man who walked the streets of Galilee and Nazareth and Jerusalem, was indeed the Lord of heaven and earth. And they were convinced in their hearts. They were pricked in their hearts, the scripture says. And they cried out and they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do? If this Jesus of Nazareth was Lord and Savior, Lord and Christ, we bow and acknowledge him as Lord." The Lord Jesus said, "The Father has decreed that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father." Paul, writing to the Philippians, says this, that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So, the scriptures are filled with references to His Lordship. He's not only Lord over creation, the physical creation, He's Lord over His spiritual creation, you and me. We are the products of His hand. A spiritual work has been wrought in our hearts, and He is Lord. Do we acknowledge Him? Do we express it in our lives that He is indeed Lord? Would you be ashamed if someone asked you if you were a Christian? You know, out of the blue, just off the street, maybe after a hasty word or a big scowl on our faces, and if somebody asked us if we were a Christian, would we be ashamed? Let the Lord have His way in your life every day. There's no rest, there's no peace until the Lord has His way. Place your life in His hand. Rest secure in His plan. Let the Lord have His way. There may be one here tonight, and you're not a Christian. What I've been talking about so far, perhaps, has meant very little to you. You've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. You've never acknowledged Him as Lord. I brought a challenge to us as Christians, primarily. But let me ask you, if you're here and you're not a Christian, what reason can you give for not having acknowledged Him as Lord, for not receiving Him as your Savior? Maybe you haven't come to the end of yourself yet. Like Jephthah's brethren, you haven't been placed in that corner with nowhere else to go, no one else to whom you can turn. Maybe life so far has been good to you. You haven't had it too rough. You felt secure and comfortable, and you're able to get along without Jesus. Let me tell you, you may live for a time on earth and things may go well. But even if they go well until the day of your death, on your deathbed, if you have one, you'll realize that you need the Savior. You'll need this Lord Jesus Christ. You'll realize that you cannot go out into the darkness, into the judgment, without Him. What's wrong with giving Him your life tonight? Maybe you have a few years to live. Wouldn't you like to live it for Him? Wouldn't you like to march to His beat? Wouldn't you like to let the world know that He is your Savior and Lord? Wouldn't you like to nail your colors to the mast? Wouldn't you like to join with others and say, I'm not ashamed to own my Lord, nor to defend His cause, maintain the honor of His word, the glory of His cross. God has decreed that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Whether you confess Him now or in eternity, you will confess. To confess Him now brings salvation. To acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, to trust Him by faith and receive Him into your heart, into your life, brings salvation, redemption, forgiveness, cleansing, healing, peace. To acknowledge Him in eternity, at the great white throne judgment, brings damnation and judgment and everlasting punishment. What about making the choice, the decision tonight? You will make a choice. You will make a decision, either for or against Him. I want to lift Him up to you again as the most beautiful, lovely, strong, loving Savior of this world, whose heart overflows with love and tenderness and compassion, who's waiting with arms wide open to receive you. He's your Savior. He wants to be. And He wants to be your Lord. Will you trust Him tonight? Will you accept Him? Will you bow at His Lordship, at His feet, and own Him, Lord of all? Shall we pray? Our Father, we bless Thee again for the man of Calvary, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Thy right hand, He who is at Thy right hand, enthroned in glory now, He who for our sakes became poor, that we through His poverty might be rich, who humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But Thou hast highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven, in earth, and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We thank Thee for those who have bowed before Him. O God, we pray for more devotion and allegiance to Him each day. Help us to honor Him in all that we do and say. Help us to exhibit His love, His kindness, His grace along life's way. Help us never to be ashamed to own our Lord or to defend His cause. That we are always willing to stand up for Jesus. We pray for those who may be here tonight who've never acknowledged Him as Lord and Savior. He's not the captain of their salvation. We pray that tonight they may see Him in all His beauty and see themselves in their deep need and be willing to trust Him, to bow before Him, and to confess Him as Lord and Savior. Add Thy blessing to Thy word and bless each one represented here tonight. We ask in our Savior's worthy and precious name. Amen.